SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three at the races on this Wednesday, and we're back, and Andy Serling is back. He's back in New York, and he's back with us after a triumphant seven-week run, whether it was Andy at the Post at Parting Glass, Andy Daly on the TV show, and prattling and talking horses, and you name it. Just a typically wonderful Saratoga season, but it always comes to a conclusion. Andy, how was your summer?
Well, it was free of you, so how could it have been that?
I think I saw you four times.
I saw you a lot. You're like a gadfly. I could see you. You were constantly in the winner's circle. It's nice to be you up there, right?
It's okay.
You have like nothing to do all day long and just sort of romp around.
Yes. Gadfly is a good word. That is accurate.
I know it's accurate.
I say frequently I got the best gig there is because I'm done by noon and then I can enjoy the afternoon of racing. Everybody else is working.
Nice. I'm very happy for you. I'm glad things are so great for you. I really am.
We got a couple of acknowledgments first and foremost before we dive into what made the most compelling portions of the summer. Just the most enthusiastic congratulations to everybody involved. Not just the course at Naira with the having to deal with portions of the meet with difficult weather, but every portion of the production, particularly the TV, Andy. So many people, and I know you're gratified.
I'll thank them all individually.
Go ahead, because
I'll thank them all for you. I'll go in the truck and I'll go see them all and give each and every one of them a hug for you.
People can't. I know that people assume that it's an extension of the simulcast broadcast, but it isn't. It's a full TV show.
Not an extension at all.
No, it's a complete production, 6 days a week, a 2.5 hour plus show. It's mind boggling what has to go into it. And tell everybody who's behind the scenes and makes it all happen.
Well, I'm not going to name everybody because names out, and I'm not going to go through that.
In general,
it's just an enormous amount of hard work. I mean, anytime you're watching a TV show, right? You watch a TV show, I mean, the people on the air are always going to get credit, but the people behind the scenes will never really get the credit. They're the people that work hard, I imagine, whether it's, the producers or Eric or different people. But it's not just them. It's so many different people in different roles. I mean, an hour of our TV show, probably 3 or 4 hours of production go into it. So if you see a 2.5 hour show, people were working for 10 hours to make that happen. I'm working, preparing, but for me, it's really not, it's just sitting there on the desk, because don't forget, I do the race work anyway for Talking Horses and for Prattle, so it's not really a lot of extra work for me, to be honest. I just have to be at the meeting at 10:30 or call into it, but really, this means I have to sit at the desk, wherever that's worth, whether that's good or bad, but I wouldn't give myself a lot of credit. I'd give the credit to people who, it's people's jobs. I mean, it's not, they're paid to do these things, but the hard work is really by the people behind the scenes, not by us on the desk.
Now, it was really enjoyable, and I did get to see probably 6 or 7, afternoons, typically during the week, and when the weather was kind of off, but the features and that portion of it, entertaining and engaging, and
sure, a lot of people going and putting those things together. It's very gratifying to work there, but the unfortunate part of those things is the people get the credit, or those mostly people like us that don't deserve it. The people behind the scenes are the ones that really deserve all the credit. They work far harder than we do. I mean, I'm not saying people don't work hard in the show, but there's a lot of people working hard in the show that are behind the scenes. And I appreciate all the kind words. And it's, you know, the thing is, you know, it's, people are really nice about it, and it's appreciated. But they thank me or Maggie or whoever, and it's really nice. It's unfortunately, the, you know, the people who really deserve the praise never get the praise that we get. I hope they're self-satisfied or they realize the kind of praise we're getting, and I hope they realize how well-received their hard work is.
Yeah. It's an extension, obviously.
Sure. To, I mean, it's not people's fault for thanking us. They're not going to walk in the TV truck and, you know, give a big thank you. But it's a lot of hard work by a lot of people to get it done.
Except for...
It is amazing.
Except for,
I mean, to be honest, it is, and looking back on it, it is amazing that we're able to do it. Not amazing that I'm able to do it. It's amazing that, you know, we're able to pull it off at that level. It's a lot of dedication and hard work, and it's, you know, a lot of credit is deserved by quite a few people.
Except for Mitch.
Mitch, believe it or not, somehow does a good job, too. Mitch Levitis, our director.
He's the greatest. He is some character.
He's been around forever. I mean, Mitch has worked with Harvey on this, you know, on the old Turbid Action shows, you know, Sports Channel and MSG. But Mitch has worked around and with us for many years.
Did you know? I'm going to throw a curveball. Do you realize that he and Gary Siaka went to high school together?
That explains a lot.
Gary surprised me the other night when he said it. Mitch came over at Pinnell's, and after he went, the whole TV truck was there actually, and Gary said we went to high school together.
Mitch didn't realize when he went to Pinnell's that the person on the other side of my dog walking story was actually working there. Do you know the dog walking story?
No.
A friend of mine was visiting me in New York a number of years ago. She lives in Saratoga. And we walked by a guy. And I said, man, I see that guy all the time. He's got like 5 dogs. I can't have somebody have that many dogs. And she looked at me and said, he's a dog walker, you idiot.
I thought when you started this was going to be like the cat on the roof.
No, it's whatever. Anyhow, going on. Can we move on from this for the TV show?
In addition, you also have to take your bows for At the Post, which had another triumph. Yes, it was a huge hit.
I'm not a bow taker. I've lucky to have the opportunity. I mean, yeah, the show. I thought the show went really well this year. Tried very hard to get as many guests that had never been on before as we could, and the show's well received. And you know, got great crowds, and people are a lot of fun coming down. You know, it's a nice thing to do. To have the opportunity to do these things is an honor. You know, and Saratoga's such a special place for those of us in racing. It seems to get better every year. You know, it doesn't seem to wane. The fans are great, and people are nice to you all day long. It's rewarding to be able to do what you can.
Now, for those that didn't get a chance either to come to Saratoga this year, or if you didn't get a chance to go on Thursday night, if maybe you came to Saratoga for Friday, Saturday, Sunday kind of thing, make an extension, try to get in for a Thursday, and take in the scene at Parting Glass, because it's very cool, and it's become an institution. In fact, Michael Blowen earlier today, I had Michael on. It's old friend's name. Well, he's tomorrow. He's on. He's got the Kentucky Downs Day, and he said one of his highlights of the summer was if not the highlight was doing your show. He said
one of the highlights. He was having him on. He was great. Yeah. I wish all my guests were Michael. You just give him one question and he just talks.
Yes, exactly.
That takes me an enormous amount of preparation. No, he was great, and he's a wonderful man. You know, and I think it's nice for people to get a chance to sort of get up close and personal and then realize what good people so many people in racing are. And I hope that the show does a good job of doing that, you know, whether it's riders or trainers or owners or just peripheral, you know, people on the game like Michael. I thought Jerry Brown was great on the show. You know, I I'm a big fan of Jerry's. He was terrific on the show. talking about, you know, third graph and different stuff. But I think people like that, and they were tried harder and got a lot of suggestions from people on Twitter, and, you know, you get a lot of sort of whatever. But actually, I got a lot of really good ideas, and I think I probably put quite a few people on the show that I was got suggestions from people on Twitter, whether it was Jerry or Michael, and different people suggested. I thought, God, I can't believe I never had that guy on before, you know. And so it worked out well.
Well, Boyd Browning, just getting
who you suggested.
Well, Boyd,
Boyd was great.
He's very engaging.
Yeah, he was great.
Getting,
no, he was,
you getting Jerry to even appear publicly is a triumph, because he's for
well,
some
he
reason.
He wore a Steve Bick mask while he was on. So I don't
think he won't the radio. You figure he's not gonna have concerns about talking on the other end of the
Jerry
phone.
I don't know why Jerry would be concerned. He's very smart and he comes across extremely well. So he shouldn't be concerned. But some people, you know, listen, it's not for everybody. But Jerry's, to me, is extremely eloquent, and, you know, he only reflects well on his product if he speaks.
There's a common. We had a common guest this season as well on our TV. In addition to you having you, but Seth is going to be on next with me. But we had Sol on Sunday. Sol Kumin, who you had weeks earlier, and
I've had Sol on before.
Yeah, Sol was tremendous, I thought, on TV on Sunday.
Sol's great. Sol's extremely engaging. Well, listen, I like Sol quite a bit. He's got a good sense of humor. You know, he doesn't take himself seriously. Sol's great.
And answered, you know, some of the questions. And I'm sure you covered a lot of the same territory.
Yeah, Sol is you know, Sol, okay. You know, I think it would be unfortunate if people get the wrong impression about Sol. He's an extremely engaging guy.
Yeah, and he came really genuine too. And so for those that want to, you know, see
and
him in an extended
two Mondays with Seth.
you got away with just two, huh? You did pretty good.
Well, two plus you, so I'll say three.
Well, that was before the meet started, though. That was
Seth's side point was when he gave out four picks, and then for 45 seconds talked about a fifth horse that he should have picked. Low points in any kind of public handicapping.
Well, on that topic, let's dive in a little bit to the postscript to the season from your vantage point, Andy. I mean, some of the things that either surprised you or, you know, some of the moments that stay with you.
Nothing surprises me anymore. Nothing.
No, huh?
I thought it was very difficult. I didn't have any particular. I thought I did okay for the first maybe two-thirds or so of the meet. I thought I'd particularly unimpressive in the latter half of the latter third of the meet. It's tough. You know, I to be honest with you, I had a tough time coming up with horses I really liked. Didn't make a lot of big bets to me. All the ones I did ran second. I found it very difficult to come up with horses that I really felt strongly about. It was hard. I think it was difficult. I always give a lot of credit to people who are able to make money up there. You know, it's tough. But it's fun. So, listen, there's so much besides the betting and the handicapping and stuff. I enjoy the handicapping. It's a great challenge. But figuring out who's going to win these races is very hard. I mean, look at the races, the late pick five. You know, I mean, take the versus the horse that won the last race. Imagine getting 7-1 on that horse at post-12. No turf pedigree, particularly, you know. Okay, so workout reports, the horse improved work in the grass. So this is a complete roach and had to overcome post-12 in a one-mile turf race. I don't want him paid 7-1. Okay, great, you cashed. I don't feel like you got rewarded if you bet that horse and got $16. I feel like you should have gotten $66 if you bet it. You know, it's hard. I mean, look at the horse that won the Bernard Baruch. That horse was the same price as Forge. Forge was probably 20 times as likely to win that race, that horse on paper. It was never won the turf. Yep. It's not like Kieran liked it, you know. And the horse who won the Hopeful was a massive overlay. That horse should have been second choice. Maybe second, third choice. It was the second fastest horse. The problem with the horse who won the Hopeful was you had to have some kind of confidence that he could survive the trip he got.
Exactly.
And it turned out he didn't go that quickly up front, so it helped him. But I'm not saying I liked him because I didn't, but he shouldn't have been 10-1. He should have been half that. Hey, Mucho was a legitimate even money shot. I don't have any problem with that. You know, he regressed a little bit, but not a lot. But I mean, that was some sequence putting it together.
Yes. Yes, it was.
And there were a lot of those. It was very hard. I lost one, you know, good pick five by a note, by a, you know, the wire, and some ridiculous loss, right? First day of the meet, maybe even last race. Not even the first day of the meet. You know, you had a few tough losses early and never recovered from them. It's hard, you know. You have to
win when you have
the opportunities. It's the thing about Saratoga. I mean, you're not going to win all of them, but if you have three good opportunities, you got to win one and a half to two of them. You got to win them because you'll lose a lot, and it's tough. And I just didn't win any of the ones. That's the way it goes. It's horse racing.
You needed dark energy in that.
Yeah. It was a Cherie train. Yeah. That was a huge loss for me. I mean, that was probably the difference between lose breaking even and in the meet. But that's all right. It happens.
We talked during the meet, and you know, when it's happening, you sometimes need the benefit of some time, you know, even if it's just a week later. But when the weather interjected itself into things, and you know, I always point to you and your, you know, the lighthouse when it comes to keeping people focused on the opportunities that arose. And I got to say, that portion about, what was it, maybe 6 days in through for the next like 2.5 weeks.
Hard to remember.
Yeah, I know. But that period actually helped me. And I, you know, I tried to leverage those opportunities as you instruct people, you know, year in, year out when it comes to off the turf.
Mamo paid $10 and he should have paid $4. That was the only one that stuck out to me. I thought late, and then Thursday, Poshke.
Yeah.
$16 were crazy. I think I hit that pick five. I think I hit that pick five. It wasn't a lot of money, but I hit it.
Well, the day that Mamo was the beginning of the pick six, and there was also Mama White Shoes that was a terrific price. And actually,
well, that they kept banging that stupid Mama, what's her name, Mama something. There's a horse in that sequence that there's a horse in that race that was a stupid horse. They bet two times in a row. Horse that Frank and I were joking about once, they're alive once. Joe Sharp horse, Mama something. Kept rigging, rain up the turf, and they kept betting it. Anyway, whatever.
I'm just thumbing through my. I've got a couple of different things that have every race laid out.
The winner.
Yeah, I'm just curious myself. That is considering that Mamo comes up, and Alejandro Mamo comes up. Were you struck, Andy, by how many out of towners came in and not that hasn't been a theme historically, but that there was such a consistent, you know, Ralph D'Alessandro, Debbie Breed, Sal Iorio, Mamo, Jeffrey Engelhart. It was remarkable how many Finger Lakes.
Well, probably some of it was helped by off the turf races, you know.
Could be, yep.
In fairness. No, yep. I'm not surprised. Steve, I'm not surprised by anything anymore.
Yeah.
I'm really not. Certainly not up there. You see. And you're inundated with sort of preposterous results.
That's true.
Nothing surprising anymore.
You know?
Horses that win at funny prices, it's sort of surprising. I didn't really know about some horses winning. I mean, Mucho paying $6 when he broke his maiden. I know there's a lot of clocker information. There were about five tips in that race, so why he ended up being the one and running the way he did. So there's a lot of information. A lot of it's good, I guess, but funny situations of horses getting bad or not getting bad. Money's very smart.
There was a parade when it came to the stakes, and I read them earlier in anticipation of us talking, and it included, you know, Ned Allard winning the Tail of the Cat with Always Sunshine, Sacco and Hopeful winner, of course, Stuart Simon with the
good trainer.
Oh, absolutely. Rose's Vision and the Better Talk Now.
He was very lucky to win. I mean, he's a good trainer. I'm not knocking him. My worst beat of 2018 was when he ran second to that Diadora horse at 40-1. But that was extremely lucky to win. I mean, Clamont horse that ran second was probably ran lengths better than that horse. Not marginally, yep. but lengths better. And that horse, that's another they knew horse. That was his 5-1 somehow. They know it was going to come up the rail and get lucky and have the horse of Clamont that ran second be 3-4 wide around the track all the way. Probably move too soon. I mean, though nothing, take nothing away from the horse. That horse was very lucky to win.
Fair. Fair enough.
Sort of like Whitmore. I mean, Whitmore was probably the luckiest grade one winner of the decade. A nice horse, but he got sub-tripped in that race. I mean, some series of confluence of events for him to win. It happens sometimes. Seems to happen up there a lot.
Well, and you bring up Ron Moquette, and we had Ron on television after the Forgo win.
Ron had some meet. I mean, he started off horrendously, and then,
right?
You know, in the last 2 weeks of the meet, he really turned it around. Yeah, he had quite a meet. He didn't run many horses, won a lot of races.
A couple of other names on this front. How about Luch and Anthony Quartarolo?
What did Luch win, 5 or 6 races?
Easily.
5?
Easily.
Easily, but they won 5, I think. Yeah, no, good. Well, I like Anthony. He's a good guy. I think Ron's a great guy.
Yeah, he is.
You know, we had Ron on the show for a few minutes. I hope that people get a chance to realize that Ron's, you know, he takes a lot of heat. And listen, he deserves some. He runs for some ridiculous spots, but he's a fun guy, and he loves the game, and he gambles, and he owns horses. And if you don't recognize that he's good for the game, then you're just wrong. I mean, he's a good guy. He's a well-spoken guy, and he doesn't take himself so seriously. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of Ron's.
Me too.
He gets too. Things right. You know, he really does. I like Anthony a great deal. I think Anthony's a terrific guy. Anthony was a very good harness trainer. Did you know he's a successful harness trainer?
Yes, he was. He was a disciple of Barry Abrams. And
I've always liked Anthony. Very engaging guy.
A couple of other names to throw by you. We can do kind of a password. George Abreu.
Who?
George, Jorge Abreu, George, had a...
Jorge Abreu? Why don't you call him by his name? Jorge Abreu. That's how
George,
you call somebody by their actual name that I actually know you're talking about?
Well,
I heard
George...
really good nicknames I missed, by the way, over the last 2 months, but we'll discuss them later.
All right.
He had a great meet. What did he win, 8 races?
Uh-huh. And most horses ran well. I mean, he didn't have any horses embarrass themselves.
Listen, he did a great job, and he worked for Chad. So I'm not surprised that he does well on his own. No, he's a good trainer.
How about Patty Reynolds?
How about Patty Reynolds?
Yeah, what'd he win? 3, 4?
I don't know. I don't know how ever many winners. I like Patty.
Yeah.
He won a race on a horse I picked for the first time. Well, he's got a good owner in Robert Amendola. They'll do well together.
You know,
people don't remember Robert Amendola, but he was very successful with Cedar Valley Stable, with Butch Lanzini mostly, going back in the 80s and probably in the early 90s. They did great together, really great together. A very sharp claiming owner, and he's gone from the game for a while, but they got back together. I talked about it quite a bit on the show in the spring and summer at Belmont, but I knew so right away when I saw his name. I said, and I think he started Aqueduct. Said, oh, Pat'll do well with him. Pat's a good trainer.
One of my favorites. There were a lot of fun stories. There were a lot of fun moments. Dermot Magner getting his win up here, and John Hurtler's win, I think, touched everybody.
John won.
Yep. Obviously, you know, Chad, 2 wins opening day, and it just that was a snowball rolling downhill.
Yeah, well, you know, he's a great trainer, great horses, and good horses, and does a great job and points to the meet. And he told me months ago that his 2-year-olds were very good, and he was right. And many of them were Seth. So that was good.
How satisfying, and how Seth Klarman doesn't strike me as somebody that needs... you know, needs trophies on a shelf, but it had to be very satisfying for him to. I liked how he called it a lifetime achievement award.
He's a funny person. I'm not going to speak for Seth. I think that, you know, to have the success, And to have, you know, I think the two-year-olds, if you look at the two-year-olds you ran, is very exciting. You think about complexity on closing day, getting a 90 buyer, 6 points higher than the hopeful. You think about that turf filly, newspaper of record, who looks like she could be anything. She looked like a monster. That Mark Valesky, news account, is that what's his name? Network Effect, excuse me, Network Effect.
Network, okay.
Ran very well. The horse who lost to Kieran's Firster, the 2-year-old Couture that lost. Something Plan?
Oh, yes. Something of Plan, or yes, yeah. yes. I know the
But the Philly Feedback was sensational. Standard Deviation. There's another good one in there, too, somewhere that I'm forgetting. And the two-year-olds, and obviously winning the test, you know, with separation of powers.
Well, I was literally, the next name from my lips was going to be the win that is the one to project and watch going forward, probably to the cotillion, is separation of powers. And that probably, that had to be a real exciting moment to have her come back like that.
Yeah, it's my personal favorite moment of the meet. I agree. She's terrific. And got an injury and, you know, takes so long to come back and then stumbles so badly in the victory ride. Not that winning that race really mattered in the long run, you know, but, and then to have it all come together. Tash, you're very well in there because New Mischief is good. And New Mischief got away with a fairly sensible pace, and to make that move in the turn and still run her down, it's hard. And obviously, after seeing Dream Tree and the Prioress, it's hard not to think she's the best three-year-old filly sprinter around, but separation's good. And it's just her second start. She can get better.
Yeah, and with this theme and with the Chad's record-setting meet, listen to this statistic on the ownership front. 18 starters for Peter Brandt, 7 winners.
Yeah, no, I know. Peter had a tremendous meet. And he didn't even win with Precious in the Della Rose, but no, he did in the Fog of War. That 2-year-old Firster won. Obviously, Sister Charlie's terrific. And, yeah, no, and then, you know, what's her name? Won Kadura won. So yeah, no, he had a great meet. Absolutely, well, he's put a lot of money in the game the last year or so.
Well, it's great to have him back. I mean, after how long? Yeah. How many years?
Don't know,
has he been gone?
It's been quite a while. I couldn't tell you how many years he was out of the game, but.
No, and he had that big birthday, Fog of War. I'm looking at the maiden wins. Had a handful of maiden winners in addition to the stakes performers. So it's good to have.
Does he and Joe Allen own that horse together? The broker maiden middle of the meet. There's a horse of Shug's that ran against her that's running on. Friday or Saturday. It's hard to remember exactly. I think Saturday.
What else?
I'm sure you've looked Saturday, so you've moved on here.
I have not. I've looked at Friday. I've not looked at Saturday. I kind of forgot that.
Civil Union.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Okay.
Anyhow. Well. What else?
Final theme of the summer. Biggest takeaway and looking forward toward the fall.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, Saratoga's, you know, really terrific and a wonderful place. And it's a lot of work, but it's hard to leave. It's there's certain things about Saratoga that make life very easy. You know, walking in the track in a few minutes, as opposed to, you know, what it takes to get the track and the work in New York. And, you know, it's hard not to appreciate that a great deal. And the town itself, just in general, I mean, it's an incredible place. And I can't say enough to people who listen to the show, if you haven't ever been to Saratoga and you're able to get there, you know, next year or whenever, go. Find a way. And find a way to stay in Saratoga or close so that you can go out at night and go to restaurants and walk around and appreciate what's nice about Saratoga. It's an incredible town. It's really, you know, it never fails to deliver, Saratoga.
Well put. Well put. What was the, in fact, speaking of restaurants, what was the your best meal of the summer?
No, I didn't. You know, I pretty much ate in, I don't go to, and I'm busy. So, I mean, I usually eat in Sperry's or Hamlet and Ghost or Max's or 15 Church. I ate at Taverna Novo, a place on Beekman.
Yeah, on Beekman. Yes.
Yeah, I ate there a couple of times, and you know, but mostly I want to walk downtown. I mean, listen, it's just, you know, it's sort of at the ease of it. I like all those places.
And
a few other places, but they're where I primarily was.
Well, you got to spend an adequate number of visits with your mother, and
I did not enough, never enough time with mom, but saw her quite a bit. She had dinner with us on Sunday night.
Nice. Yeah. Well, and back in Manhattan, and ready for Friday opening day, Belmont, the fall championship meet.
So looking forward to coming shortly. Down. I finished it last night. I just forgot to post them.
And what's the television schedule?
4 to 6 every day for the first 4 weeks. And then I think there's a show for Earthquake Showcase Day, and there's a show in Cigar Mile Day. But so there's, you know, we run Friday, Saturday, Sunday the first 2 weeks, and then 5 day weeks. I think I'm going to be gone for most of the third week. I'm going to actually go somewhere on sort of 3 for 3 days, go somewhere nice.
Nice. Good for you.
That'll be good. But yeah, no, it'll take us 4 weeks to meet. Mostly
looking
Matt
forward to
Paul and I, and Greg will be there some. He'll be there some days. I don't think he's there. I think the second Sunday is first day. He's got some commitments out west. But for the most part, it'll be us.
No Amos?
No. Amos is back, I guess, in Kentucky, I guess.
Yeah.
I didn't get to work with Tom a lot, so.
No, I know, which was too bad, because those were those are firecracker moments. They're so much fun.
One of my favorite people in racing. Tom's great. I really enjoy Tom. He's very sharp, and he's fun, good sense of humor. And I know there's people that don't, for some reason, think Tom and I don't like each other. Nothing could be further from the truth. I couldn't have more respect for Tom.
Andy, thanks for a great summer.
Thanks for giving me the summer off from the show. It meant the world to me.
Well, you're back on the hook.
All right.
No, I appreciate it.
All right, Steve. I'll miss you. See you later.
I'll talk soon. Andy Serling, everybody, off of great summer here, whether it was his live show and the work that goes into the Saratoga Live, now back to Belmont Live, and back on his, he'll be on his usual Tuesday swing, starting back next week. I appreciate it. Let's take a break. And Seth Merrow, he's got to be in a really, I would say, somewhat bittersweet mood, because he's up in Maine getting his post-Saratoga break in, but the ancestral home is being sold. I told you this. Tina and I are really frustrated. The Merrows are selling our summer house out from under us. We need somebody to step forward with a new Maine place to stay. Come on! Seth Merrow next.
Join us at Presque Isle Downs for our two biggest days of racing. Sunday, September 16th, the $200,000 Presque Isle Mile. Monday, September 17th, the Grade 2 $400,000 Presque Isle Masters. North America's top filly and mare sprinters compete in the Premier Breeders' Cup Prep Race. Free Presque Isle Masters hats for the first 1,000 fans. Free t-shirts each night for the first 500 fans. September 16th and 17th, Presque Isle Downs, Erie, Pennsylvania. For more, go to PresqueIsleDowns.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I like digging holes and hiding things inside them. When I grow old, I hope I won't forget to find them. 'Cause I've got memories and travel like gypsies in the night. I've got no roots, but my home was never on the ground. I've got no roots, but my home was never on the ground. I've got no roots. I've got no roots.
We're back at the races. About 15 to fill out this Wednesday edition. Seth Merrow, as always, and even during the season sometimes, would slip up to the house in Maine, in Falmouth, beautiful Falmouth, there on the bay, and this is the hours are counting down, they're winding down, because I think the Merrow House is moving into other hands after, gosh, I think Seth, you fill us in. How long has the Merrow ancestral home been in the family?
This particular house was built by my grandfather in, I think, 65, but he lived two houses down. I'm sure I told you that. I'm sure you guys have looked at that house. Right at the top of the stairs to go down to the beach, he had that house for a long time. And this is going back to, I don't know, the 40s maybe. It was two houses down, and then this one for, 50 plus 60 years almost more? So, yeah, bittersweet. But you need a place. I need a place. because I have not stopped my Maine visits. I will be back next summer as much as I was here. I just won't be in this. And if people want to know why it's so relaxing and why I come up here so often, I tweeted out the picture off the deck earlier. So another reason to follow my Twitter feed if people want to see the shot of the Cove, Muscle Cove. And, yeah, I'm going to miss it. I'll probably make another visit. We're just kind of packing things up, have some siblings in, and we're packing things up. Probably make one more visit and then the closing at the end of the month. So, yeah, it'll be sad to walk out for the last time. But it was time to move on.
If you're packing things up, can I have one or two of the antique board games that are in the closet?
Those are up for grabs. They were discussed last night. You have any in particular you're interested in?
I think Password. In fact, I even invoked the Password today with Andy, as it happens. Right? There's Password, is there, or Concentration? What there, you've got some back there. Milton Bradley. I think they were in college when those games were out. Those were first issued.
Yeah, the Password. I'll have to pull that out now that you mention it, because I remember playing it as a kid, and there was like a colored little sheet of plastic that you look through,
right.
And it was
right.
Red, and then the car, so you couldn't tell. Yeah, I gotta have to pull
exactly,
that out.
Exactly, and I because I am I consider Tina and I are kind of like Alan Ludden and Betty White in our own way.
Very good. Yeah, they're very good. There's a blast from the past. Yeah. So the Password is. The announcer would always whisper it. Like, he's got to be in some locked room backstage.
Exactly.
That's where it is. All right, I'll put your name on that.
Thank you. Thank you.
You
I appreciate it.
The clock. I could save that for you, too.
That was yours, because that's got a connection to Tampa. That was the Tampa Tampa Derby clock that I surprised you with one year and hung on the wall. What about the Adirondack chairs on the deck? What are we doing with those?
That's a good question. That's a very good question, because you and Tina provided those, and I've told you in the 2 or 3 years since, people have commented. You know, I'll go down and meet neighbors at some point, and they'll have been out swimming around in their boat or something. Man, those red chairs really stand out. Nice addition. So the whole neighborhood liked them.
I'm gonna miss it.
It was funny, you tweeted out yourself in response to mine some pictures.
Yes.
And I was showing my sister, and I pulled up Tina with the two lobsters, and like within 1 second we were, oh, Days. They got them up at Days. You can tell from the background.
Exactly. That is Days. And the other picture I put was Willard Scoops, which we love in South Portland, the ice cream parlor. And then I went up, we went to that really cool lighthouse that's on the main quarter. We drove up there. I put that. I've got tons of great pictures from our main trip. So we'll miss it, and we can't thank you enough for the opportunities to go up there.
Oh yeah, glad to have you guys up, because it's a beautiful place, and any time during the summer that it's open, just assume somebody was up here kicking back and taking advantage, because again, it just. Folks look at the picture of the Cove, you realize what makes it so special up here. Yeah, I'll miss it, but as I say, I will not stop coming to Maine. I'm plugged in. I got to come up and have some lobster rolls and some fried clams and go sit on Scarborough Beach and make a stop over to Scarborough Downs. And so I'll be back. I will be back.
We will be back at Saratoga in, we're already starting the countdown. And, Seth, we've had a season ending, I thought a really perfect season ending, loose on the lead on Sunday. Saul Kuhman with us for over a half an hour answering every question we threw at him. And, he was terrific. And then the really, you talk about bittersweet, having to say goodbye to Sam Grossman, who has been as wonderful an ambassador for NYRA as anybody. It fits in the pantheon with Harvey Pack and along those lines. Sam won't really be the same without Sam blowing that horn.
You know, I heard you talk to Fornatale earlier, and you mentioned Harvey Pack. I'm sure in past visits this month, Fornatale mentioned it, but he did a nice little series with Harvey Pack that people should look up, because those of us who got into the game at that time, you talk about an icon, he really was. So I just wanted to toss that out there for anybody who might have missed it, because I had Pete on the show maybe a week and a half or so ago, and we talked a little bit about that. But, yeah, I mean, we had a great season on Loose on the Lead again. As I was kind of sitting here, waiting for you to give me a shout, I was kind of going down our guest list, and as you said, Saul and Sam. Sam was great. I went down and kind of took a little video of his last call to the post, and there was a big crowd, obviously, around the winner's circle, and I came out of the winner's circle. He didn't get more than 10 feet before people crowded around and wanted pictures and autographs, so he was stalled there for quite a while after his last call. But great last show. Paul and Duke Matisse, obviously, every year they get a good response. And our show with Jonathan Thomas and Moquette and Chuck Lawrence was a lot of fun. Lenny Shulman we had on. Harold Lerner was a lot of fun, too. And on the media side, we had Sean Clancy and Dave Grenning stopped by. Talked to Rick Violet. Had some Facic Tipton people in. So it was a good season. It always is a good season. I laughed when you talked to Fornatale and you said somebody had watched you. And watched you and said, "Boy, you're kind of animated." I thought, "Oh, there's a revelation." I think of when they said that two or three or four years ago, we had Gay Waterhouse on.
Yes.
And Mick's in the cart with her, driving her back to wherever she was going. And Gay Waterhouse turns to Mick and says, "But Steve's kind of chatty, isn't he?" But it's always fun, just like that. Gay Waterhouse, and as I say, the guests, you know, international and the top names. That's what's fun about being up at Saratoga. Everybody is a golf cart ride away. So it was a great season on the Sundays. I had a great season during the week as well. And thanks to all the guys behind the scenes on the OTB TV side for setting us up and providing their work during the season as well. I thanked them on my last show on Monday, but it's always fun, as I say, the rest of the year I'm in the studio, you have people by phone, it's a little bit different, but to be there and just have the biggest names in horse racing come by and sit down, it's always fun.
You mentioned Harold Lerner, and I don't know if you saw, I think I forgot to attach you to the tweet the other day on closing day, but another great example about having...
Oh, Harvey Wallbanger.
Harvey Wallbanger. We talked to Harvey, and I think you asked him the question, you know, what else, you know, you got, what are you going to have between, you know, the last 2 weeks of the meet? And he said, well, we got a two-year-old will be debuting named Harvey Wallbanger, and we think he's got talent. So first, that was the first flare, and then if you happen to be using Mike Welch and the Clocker Report, you saw that there had been two very positive notices, and I threw him as the best value play in there, and you had the obvious horses to work with in terms of King for a Day, Complexity, and Azrael. 33-1 for Harvey Wallbanger in second, and that keyed a $33 exacta, a 70-something dollar try, and if you caught the super, it was $320. And if you are serious about the game, you got to take notes. You got to take every opportunity, you know, when you hear these things, and you know, jot them down. I can tell you that even having seeing Sipican Harbor win and knowing that she had worked with Dovey Lovey, who then came back the next day and ran for Contessa and Lee Pacoy and ran well at a price and was involved in the exotics. You got to have as much awareness about you as possible, because there's so many challenges to make money, and it's hard. Nobody says it's easy, but You've got to take copious notes. You got to go back and see what you missed and see what you can use going forward.
Yeah, you know, we've talked to Mike Welch and Dave Grenning plenty over the years during the meet, and I have them kind of alternate with me on Thursdays, and we push that Clocker Report, because that has a lot of good information. And you know, particularly with those baby races. I talk about it a lot when I come in and do the handicapper support. I'm looking up, you know, how they work out at the sale, if they were a two-year-old auction purchase. And I think you have to pay attention year in and year out. The owners that really point to the meet and try to get, you know, Klarovich is clearly one of the examples. They clearly want to win early with these horses that they purchase at the two-year-old sales. And you just have to kind of file that away. And with the two-year-olds, that means you're bringing something to the table that isn't necessarily on the page. And you can walk away with that Saturday. The local ABC affiliate, WTEN, I'm on a few nights a week and give a couple of thoughts on stakes races and a value play. And so Friday I talked about Hubba Bubba, who was a 28-1 shot, who came in second on Saturday. And a lot of people were kind of giving me the thumbs up, which you love to hear, that people made a little money on it. But it was underneath the logical horse. It was a $200 exacta. But there was a little bit of breeding there. It was a horse that had a start, had some trouble in the first start, but there was enough breeding there to think, you know what, this is still kind of a win early type. And with the darkened form in the first start, we might get some value. And so if you, as you say, study a little bit and just kind of keep your ear to the ground, you can bring things to the table that the majority of the bettors don't have, and that's where you're going to find your value.
Should mention, too, anybody, you know, you just kind of laid out some of the, you know, some of the visitors that we had. I think we must have had eight shows this year, right? Because we had
before the meet, you're right.
Right. And so there's eight shows, and I know that you talk about behind the scenes, and Mick put together a best of the summer, and there's two-hour specials that are up on YouTube. Three now?
Yeah.
There's three parts?
No, that was the game plan. The third one probably aired for the first time today or will air tomorrow.
Okay.
So they may be going up in chronological order on YouTube, but eventually they'll be 3 hours.
Well, then take advantage, or three episodes of 2 hours each, I think, right? Is that what it is?
Because
part one is 2 hours and 18 minutes. Part two is 2 hours and 9 minutes.
Oh, okay. So
there's a lot to the people could enjoy, and it's an agglomeration of Seth Racing Across America shows and Brian Nadeau's show and Loose on the Lead. I saw the lists, and it's, you know, nothing but, you know, some of the stake winners and some of the most interesting personalities from the summer. So I'll send out links. And in fact, I've been saying I would send links to our shows from the summer for people that, you know, weren't aware, or, you know, you can watch the OTB programming at capitalotb.com, as well, you know, during the.
Yeah, it was funny. I think it was David Donk I had on maybe a couple of weeks ago. And I think he's, if it wasn't him, it was one of the trainers who, as we were sitting in the commercial, said, gee, you got quite a reach. Somebody texted me from Texas and said they're waiting for my segment. I thought, wow, that's pretty good. But you can. And I think a lot of people come to the track, watch it locally, and then realize, oh, I can pull it up on the computer. Or you get the Capital OTV app, you can watch. At Woodbine a couple of years ago, we were up doing the Woodbine Mile, and we'll be doing that again in a couple of weeks. But a guy walked up to me and said, hey, watch your show. I said, oh, you come up from Albany? He said, no, I live in Minnesota. I said, oh, well, okay. Good, great. The more the merrier.
There you go. Well,
And I'll remind people, you mentioned with Fornatal, people go to the Capital OTB front page. If you go down kind of towards the bottom, there's a little graphic that'll take you to our YouTube page, and there's a little graphic also. Everything is also put in an audio podcast, so if they wanted to listen to the archives of our shows during the summer or that kind of thing, they can click on that as well. It's right on the front page, kind of towards the bottom.
Well, and of course, those of you that that are going to partake of this, there is a fun game to play, which is how many ties Seth wore repeatedly during the course of the summer.
As I got ready to come up here yesterday, I had to clean out my car from the summer abuse. It was funny. I was given a ride to a couple of friends like 2 weeks ago, and they said, "You can give us a ride someplace, right?" I said, "Hey, that's
no."
And as they got to the car and opened the door, they're like, "Oh." Oh, well, maybe. But I said, no. So I pushed everything aside. But as I kind of cleaned the car to make the trip to Maine yesterday, I was doing my Saratoga post-cleaning. I had like 30 ties in there. How did I repeat? I couldn't figure it out.
Well, you wore the same orange one about 7 out of 40 days.
People kept telling me I needed more color, so I thought that would solve that.
Not if it's the same one.
You said I have to make a list. Maybe that's true. I don't know. I just
of course you do.
I would think. I would think. Oh, I haven't worn this lately, but I don't pay that much attention to it.
Thanks for a great summer, Seth.
Yeah, always a lot of fun, and I hope all the listeners enjoyed it. More importantly, I hope everybody had a great time at Saratoga, because it's always a lot of fun. I hope people made money just talking from people. That was tough to do this year, but I hope everybody at least had a great time. I know I did. Look forward to it. The countdown has begun.
Exactly. As Tom Durkin used to say in those commercials, the season you wait for all year. We're going to look at some racing this afternoon, including little Indiana, that pair of stakes. Take an interest in those. And we'll start to get focused in. Kicking off the season at Los Al tomorrow, so we'll get tied on for that. And start to look toward Belmont and more. I want to thank Seth and Andy. Great to get Andy back. Pete Fornatel and Sid. Sire Watch, Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. Have a great afternoon. Replay 6 to 9 tomorrow. I'll talk to you in the morning.
At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund direct deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.